Welcome to Day of Destiny with Dr. Michelle Correll, author, prophetic teacher, and pastor of Breath of the Spirit Prophetic Word Center. Dr. Correll can be seen weekly, nationwide, and around the world on her weekly telecasts that air on God TV, Impact, and Word Network. Now, let's join Dr. Correll by experiencing Day of Destiny, designed with your highest destiny in mind. Now, here is Dr. Correll.
During this fourth month, this is the fourth month on the biblical calendar, turn to somebody and say, we are in a time of dates with destiny. How many of you love dates with destiny? How many of you love surprises from God? How many of you love to stand back and just watch the Lord work? You didn't have anything to do with it, but he just became a door opener to you. Hallelujah. Can you say door opener? Say season shifter. Say, I'm claiming my season to shift right now. This moment tonight, I'm claiming it. Nothing's going to stop my season. Hallelujah. No man's going to block my season. Somebody ought to say, I'm just praising God for my new season. Hallelujah. My season of blessing, my season of harvest, my season of breakthrough, my season of divine turnaround. Somebody ought to really claim it here. I don't think we have a whole lot of claimers here. But if I were you and you felt the anointing on your season, I would claim it right now by the power of the Holy Ghost. And we give God praise and we give God glory. Holy, holy, holy. Come on, give him praise. Give him praise. Oh, the season is shifting. The season is shifting. This is what is so glorious about the biblical calendar. God created the calendar with our destiny in mind. God created the calendar because he knew we needed hope. We couldn't stay stuck in the same season forever. We need to break out of bondage, and God's already made a way with what he has promised at the seasons through the blood of Jesus. And somebody ought to say, I'm claiming my blood-bought miracle. During the 21 days of messianic miracles, I'm claiming every promise in the Bible. I'm not about to be denied what's my inheritance and what Jesus died on the cross to give me. Somebody should shout the victory right now. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to praise God. Hallelujah. The fourth month is introduced to us in a very profound way in the book of Jeremiah. Look at Jeremiah, beloved saints, and I'm just looking for my glasses. They're usually on my head. But tonight, I'm just looking for my glasses. They're not here. So if we could get glasses out, or they are. Sweetie, bless your precious heart. Give her a great big God bless you. That's why we need armor bearers and assistants. Hallelujah. And thank you, Apostle D, woman of God. Hallelujah. Now, we are opening our Bibles to the book of Jeremiah, the 52nd chapter. Oh, glory to God. Jeremiah 52. And I'm going to share with you very quickly about the fourth month. And I'm so thankful. Aren't you thankful for the blood of Jesus? Aren't you thankful for the blood, hallelujah, that changes, that reverses every curse? The blood that produced the promises that we can possess today. Every promise in the Bible becomes ours because of the blood. They're bought by the blood of Jesus. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah chapter 52. You know, I know it's not always appropriate to tell you how much we love the prophets of God that are authors of Scripture. But Jeremiah is just one in a million. Jeremiah, I can't wait to meet him when I get up to heaven. How many of you? You know, we got our list, don't we, of all the authors of Scripture. Jeremiah, who was called at a young age, he didn't call himself. God never called. We don't call ourselves. God puts his hand on us. Before the appropriate time that a man should go into ministry, God had need of Jeremiah for the work that was going to be done because it was a grievous time. Things were going to drastically change in Zion. God had one last call when pleading, plea with Jerusalem. One plea that would last about 40 years. A career. He had to start early because the time was so urgent. What was pending was so great. He needed a vessel. And he told him immediately, "You will not marry. Because everyone in this place is going to die. You will not beget children." Jeremiah said, "Who am I that you should call me? Ah, Lord, I'm just a child." And God said, "Don't say you're just a child, because before you were born, I knew you. And before you came forth from the womb, I sanctified you to be a prophet to the nations." Jeremiah was given a difficult task, because at the time of Jeremiah's prophecy, there were other so-called prophets that were predicting and prophesying the complete opposite of Jeremiah's word. They prophesied according to the culture, and they prophesied smooth things so that no one would be offended out of their own heart and out of their own spirit. The way they think things should turn out. We absolutely must divorce our mind from anything we think and only have God's thoughts within us, because the way they were thinking was completely leading Israel into further destruction. Did you know that a false prophet can keep you away from your land? Bible says in Jeremiah, they drive you out of the land. They prophesy a lie to you that they might drive you out of the land. I don't want to lose my land. Tell your neighbor, I don't want to lose my territory. I don't want to lose my destiny over a false prophet. That's not a light thing. Hallelujah. But Jeremiah, on the day of destruction, after 40 years of prophesying, after being put in the prison, after being put in a dungeon and almost dying, after almost starving to death, they deliberately put him in the dungeon with no food so that he would starve to death. And when he was down to skin and bones and only had the breath left in his body, a brave Ethiopian, a brave man of God, didn't care about the king. He cared about Jeremiah. And he came and he stood before Jeremiah, before the king, and said, "King, if you don't release Jeremiah today, by tomorrow he will be dead." And the king threw ropes and said, "Do not tell a soul what I am doing. Pull him up." They went to the pit where Jeremiah was in the mire, and they pulled Jeremiah up out of the pit. And they brought him before the king. And the king thought that he would change his prophetic word. Trials cannot change your prophetic word. That's right. The culture cannot change your prophetic word. What the devil wants to do to you cannot change your prophetic word. Can I get a witness somewhere? When God has given you a word, nothing can change it. Not storm, not trial, not tribulation, not persecution. Nothing can change the word of your testimony. The word of your testimony is not just your testimony like we were given here today. It's the word that God put in your mouth. Jeremiah wouldn't be bought. He wouldn't be persuaded. But they put him in house arrest. And while he's in house arrest, Jeremiah's consistent. He's still doing God's work. He could have said, well, now at least I'm in house arrest. The famine was great in the land. There was nothing to eat. He's in the prison, in house arrest. The Babylonians have surrounded the city. What is about to happen is inevitable. And the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah and said, behold, your cousin, your uncle's son, is going to come to you to sell his property to you. Who wants to buy property when you know it's going to burn? Who wants to buy property when the Babylonians are going to take it over in days? Who wants to buy property when it's going to burn up? The arrows of the Babylonians are being sharpened, and their fire is ready to be dipped inside their arrows. Fiery arrows are going to be shot by the thousands into Jerusalem. We're not talking a few. Pew, pew, pew. We're talking tens of thousands of arrows on fire being aimed at Jerusalem. And the cousin came to Jeremiah in the prison. The Lord said, you will buy that property for 17. Turn to your neighbor and say 17. For 17 shekels of silver. You're going to buy it. So the Bible tells us in Jeremiah 32. It came. So we got witnesses, and I weighed him the silver, and he presented me the evidence of purchase. Say evidence of purchase by 17. Say evidence of land. Is being purchased with the symbol of 17. What does 17 represent? We know it represents good, but it represents more than good. The Bible says in Leviticus 23, verse 27, in the 10th day of the seventh month, you will have a day of atonement. Say 17 is a symbol of blood and atonement. God said it couldn't be 18. It's not to be 100 shekels. And you're going to take the evidence of purchase and you're going to put it in a clay jar and you're going to sign it and you're going to bury it in this land. He took it. They dug up the land, the earth. Jeremiah took the purchase, the document, with 17. Put it inside the earth. And God said, prophesy now. And he prophesied over it. And he said, thus saith the Lord. Houses territories shall again be possessed in this land. He shut it up. One arrow could not be launched against Jerusalem till the deed was purchased and the word was put in the earth by Jeremiah, sealed by the blood. I can't get any help in here. I said, sealed by the blood. Say this with me. My land has been purchased by the blood. Somebody should give God the praise and give God the glory. Your destiny has been purchased by the blood. Somebody should shout the victory and say, God has given it to me. A blood-bought purchase. And when God sees a symbol of Calvary, when there are miraculous marks, when there is a Calvary connection, when there are supernatural similitudes of Calvary, God says it looks like the cross. 17, it's a reminder, it's a memorial of blood that will be shed in this city. So I can give this city, I can save it. Though it will be burnt to the ground, though nothing will be left, my people will come back and they will possess this land, because 17 represents it's already done. Somebody should give God the praise and give God the glory. You ought to turn to your neighbor and say, tonight, child, you have nothing to worry about. Tell your neighbor, say, you're getting excited over nothing. You're allowing the enemy to put all kind of stress on you. You're allowing the enemy to cause you to wonder what's going to happen tomorrow. But I've already got a word for you tomorrow. 17 is your word. Hallelujah. The devil is telling you, you might lose your land. You might lose your destiny. You might lose your property. Somebody ought to say, 17 is my guarantee. 17. Hallelujah. I said it's blood bought. Anything bought by the blood, hallelujah. When God sees a Calvary connection, when God sees a miraculous mark, a messianic mark, God will move on it. Put your hands up. The fourth month is a month of breaking. It's a month of breaking, but right now God is saying your breaking has turned into a breakthrough. I'll read you the word. Hallelujah. The Bible says it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the 10th month, in the 10th day of the month, that Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, came, he and his army, against Jerusalem and pitched against it and built forts round about. They're building forts round about, and they're waiting for the 17th day of the month of Tammuz coming up almost a year later to thousands of arrows ignited with fire after the city is sieged with the breaking down of the walls. They're outside the walls. Can you imagine not believing the prophet when the Babylonians are camped out? Touch your neighbor and say, what signs have you seen that are signs of the end that are undeniable, but yet the world is still in denial about the things that are happening in the earth? Hallelujah. You can see the Babylonians right outside your gates. You can see what's happening in this earth, but yet we still say, hallelujah, we don't believe that it's going to happen. But I've got a word from the Lord. It's going to happen. let me just tell you one thing. You know, when someone's ready to commit suicide, you talk them through it. You know, you have to talk them through it. You got to just say, okay, stay on the phone. Let me just talk you through it, okay? Just hold on. Let me just tell you a few things so you don't overdose. Let me just tell you a few things so you don't pull that trigger. Let me walk you through it. Well, spiritually, I'm going to walk you through it. I said, I'm going to walk you through it. I'm not talking about physical suicide. I'm talking about spiritual suicide. Let me walk you through it. Give you a little hint. April 8th was not a joke. I said April 8th, 2024 was not a joke. It wasn't an accident. Some of you say, hey, I forgot. Just refresh me, Dr. Kraut. What happened on April 8th? I kind of forgot. What's April 8th all about, Dr. Corral? Maybe we forgot the world was in a frenzy for a whole week. People were camping out. They were moving to the place of the solar eclipse. They were moving by the tens of thousands. Niagara Falls pronounced state of emergency. Every place that was in the way of the path of the solar eclipse. All things that were in the pathway, cities in the pathway, had to declare a state of emergency. Do you know why? Because the population of the city and the city itself was not structured to handle the tens of thousands overnight that it got filled with people who wanted to see that solar eclipse. But yet, we've already forgotten. A Rosh Kodesh Nisan solar eclipse. And we consider it, we don't even put two and two together. That's 7 days later in the land of Israel, not even 7 days. 7 days later, Iran, Amalek, launches an attack against the state of Israel that if those rockets would have landed, those missiles would have landed in Israel, they would have wiped Israel off the face of the map. 300 of the most sophisticated missiles days after the solar eclipse. You can call it coincidence if you want to, because we've already coincidentalized our lives away with reasoning things. But you see, it's not an accident. The 17th of Tammuz is a very important day. It was the day the Babylonians broke into the city. And for 21 days, an endless, nonstop siege to break down Jerusalem. A time of breaking. Why a time of breaking? Because hundreds of years before, when Moses came down the mountain with the Ten Commandments, written with the finger of God. On the 17th of Tammuz, Joshua said, it sounds like Mary in the camp. It sounds like singing and rejoicing. And Moses said, it is not singing and rejoicing. Moses said, it's the sound of idolatry. It's the sound, an evil sound. And he took the two tablets of the Ten Commandments. And he broke on the 17th of Tammuz the commandments. It became a day of breaking. So that when Israel comes to a place equal with that breaking, a breaking occurs. But Zechariah the prophet, who is the messianic prophet of rebuilding, Isaiah is a messianic prophet of rebuilding. Ezekiel is a messianic prophet of rebuilding. That when they were rebuilding the ruins, they were being opposed. Have you ever tried to rebuild something and you were being opposed? Have you ever tried to get your life back and you were being opposed by a demonic spirit and you just couldn't get ahead? Have you ever been in a place that you're trying so hard, you're working so hard, you don't understand, and every time you come up for air, you breathe and come up for air and say, this is it, God finally gave me my breakthrough. But in the midst of coming up for air, in the midst of taking that deep breath, something comes at you and tries to stop you. It's a spirit of false accusation from the enemy that wants to rob you from taking back your territory. It's a spirit from the pit of hell that wants to say, you gave it to me, that says that you're not getting it back, but I've got a word. It's the same thing that happened to the rebuilders when they went back to Zion. Everything was opposing them from rebuilding. Everything was stopping them. Accusations and thoughts and imaginations. And a prophet was raised up. A prophet was raised up to prophesy to the builders. He became a messianic prophet. He prophesied the triumphal entry. He prophesied the betrayal with 30 pieces of silver. He prophesied what was happening in the heavens. Joshua, the son of Yoshedek, standing with his garments as the high priest, but his garments were soiled and stained. And Satan was standing at his right hand to resist him. And Zechariah sees in the heavens, behold, one called the branch will be raised up. And the iniquity of this land will be healed in one day. One day. One day. I said one day on a hill called Mount Calvary. I said one day. And he continued. Going to look upon him whom they have pierced, and they're going to mourn for him as one that mourneth for his only son that is in bitterness. The realization will come that it was because of his blood that the city was rebuilt. It was because of his blood that the temple can be rebuilt. God took it on a prepayment. I said, God took it on a prepayment. Maybe you didn't hear me. The prophets prophesied it, and God took it on a prepayment. Why are you saying all this, Dr. Corral? Because, child, the blood's already been shed. And now you have access to your land. You are spiritual Jerusalem. You are spiritual Zion. The Bible tells us, behold, I saw, hallelujah, the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. Paul said, hallelujah, but you have come to the city of the living God, the new Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to give God the praise and give God the glory. Tonight, bring those. Oh, just pray right now. There are promises of restoration, promises of taking back the territory that God is going to release in this atmosphere tonight. Hallelujah. Give God praise. And I give God glory. Matoka, Shakira, Matura, Palabakarabata, Tara, Shande de Toko Shakara. Come on, pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Awana, just stand. Right now, God is saying this is a word for you, but God is saying you are going to build. The Lord is saying you are going to build, and I'm using every tear and every trial and every hardship you have gone through. God is saying, hold on to me, my daughter. I'm going to supernaturally provide, and you will go to Romania, but to other Eastern Bloc, former Eastern Bloc countries, and you are going to do a great work for God. God is going to give you the power, and he's going to make you with the right connections. Here's what the Lord says. My daughter, I'm anointing you with boldness. There's a holy oil coming down from heaven, and it's a jar filled with oil, and the essence is courage. It's boldness to do what God told you to do. To go forward despite the circumstances, you shall conquer. Hallelujah. Give God the praise and give God the glory. This is for Papa. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on and give God the praise. Give God the glory. Give God the praise. Give God the glory. Give God the praise. Give God the glory.
Thank you for joining us today on Day of Destiny. We invite you to our website at mydayofdestiny.com, where you can easily access other podcasts and obtain your copy of Dr. Corral's latest book, Secrets of the Anointing. Also, we want to take this moment to invite you to engage in extending your hand of kindness by planting your seed or offering for multitudes that include orphans, providing water wells, providing medical supplies, clinics, feeding programs, and many other services to the suffering church and through efforts of evangelism worldwide. Just go to our website and click the donate button. Or text to give, text HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D, to 7797. That's HESED, C-H-E-S-E-D, to 7797. You are also invited to visit Dr. Michelle Corral Facebook or Instagram. We look forward to having you encounter the anointing with us on our next Day of Destiny podcast.